This morning's message is going to be just a little bit shorter than usual because I want to just take some time for us today to just be drawn into the peace that God brings in the coming of his son into the world after a pretty busy few days of Christmas. We've spent this month talking about how we need to have a little bit of Christmas this year, how we just really need that, and we've needed a little love, a little faith, a little hope, a little joy, and the truth is that many of us have also needed just a little bit of Christmas in comparison to the way we've celebrated Christmas over the past years. It's kind of been smaller. I mean, raise your hand if you celebrated Christmas in a bit of a smaller fashion this year, meaning less people, less parties, less gatherings, less activities and such. Raise your hand if it's a little smaller compared to the last years. There are some advantages to a little Christmas. We also need a little peace, and sometimes the busyness of Christmas leads us to miss the peace of Christmas. Many times Christmas is more like let's get every part, every detail, the presents, the cards, the parties, just right, just in order, so that when Christmas Day is here, we can finally stop and then take a breath. Many times all of the Christmas chaos feels like we're having Christmas, kind of Christmas on the run, doesn't it? So there are some advantages that this year has in giving us a little more peace this Christmas. Where we could simplify it all and really take in the real Christmas a bit more. However, I will say that if we get much of anything right in how we traditionally celebrate Christmas, it may be that the real Christmas did include some running, didn't it? Now, it may be the kind of running that we may not be the kind of running that we usually experience at Christmas, but it was by all indications Christmas on the run. But their run was a little more intense and a little more crucial than ours, just pulling things together in Christmas time and for Christmas Day. I mean, there were certainly some times of incredible peace, like they've never known before, like right after Jesus is born and that brief period, that time, that moment where they're celebrating his birth, but it was quickly diminished by the next run of their journey. I'm going to take us to a place in the Christmas account that comes a bit beyond where we usually stop when we read the story in the Bible, where we usually stop when we tell the story. We usually end with the reading of the Magi, the wise men, bringing Jesus the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that's kind of where we stop, right? And then the camera of the television special of the Christmas, it zooms off of the stable and off of the shepherds and off of the Magi and all gathered about, and you see the star overhead and you hear singing, "Angels we have heard on high, our joy to the world," right? That's how it usually goes. Does that sound familiar? Well, now let's tell the rest of the story, because in the real story, there was a real run that was going on. Let me pick up in the Christmas account of what happens right after the Magi leave the scene in Matthew 2, 13 through 25. When they had gone, the Magi that is, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." The word "escape" sounds like it was pretty intense. A pretty intense word, pretty intense time that's going on here, doesn't it? Let's continue. "So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so he was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Sounds like an intense movie scene, doesn't it? Joseph gets the word from God and makes no haste. He pulls his wife and his child right out of their beds and they take off running. I mean, let's be clear here of something here, friends. Herod was not a good king. Herod was not a good man, was not a good guy. And besides not being a good king, he had some issues with his greatest and his first love, which was himself. He was his own first love. Herod was very fond of being king, and that meant to stay the king. He was also a bit paranoid of others trying to steal his position. He didn't even trust his own children, who would someday be heirs to the throne. Herod was also well-read and well-learned. He kept himself knowledgeable of not only his beliefs and his traditions, but of others as well. He knew of the rumors of this Jewish king that was supposed to be born. And when the Magi came looking for such a king, Herod felt threatened for his very throne, so much so that he would do anything to protect it, even from a newborn baby being that king. History tells us that Herod did indeed send his soldiers, and they did indeed kill all the male children under a certain age in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary escaped that killing just in time. Let's also be clear here that Herod, not being a good king and not being a good man, was because he was not a godly man or a worshiper of the one true God. And when you're not for God, whether you realize it or not, you're indeed for Satan. So make no mistake about it, Herod wasn't the only proponent instigating to take out this baby king. He was certainly being driven by the devil in this effort as well. Now understand, in the Christmas account, the Magi's coming to worship the Messiah was on a little different time period than is portrayed, as I've said before. And many think that on the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds came, and a little later that night, the Magi showed up. And why do we think that? Because of the nativity scenes, because of the Christmas cards, because of the Christmas TV specials, and the Christmas songs, and the movies. They all depict it that way, but Scripture doesn't depict it that way. Scripture says they came to a house to see the child, not a baby at this point, but a child. Matthew 2:9 says, "And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place the child was." Then it tells us in Matthew 2:11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. You see, the Magi weren't at the manger. They didn't go to the stable, the cave. It's believed that they actually came months later. Some even say it could be longer than that. So it appears that after Jesus was born in the stable, wherever he was born, Joseph and Mary at some point did find a place to stay for a bit in Bethlehem, in a house of sorts. So they stayed there for a period of time. I don't know if they stayed in Bethlehem and put the roots down, if they were thinking that, or if they were staying long enough for Mary and the baby so they'd be able to be more ready for the road trip home, but it's evident that they had some period of time that things were still, that things were quiet, that they could rest, where they did have a little bit of peace. And it appears that the Magi were showing up at the end of that period of time, however long that time was. We know that because after the Magi visit, an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him that to take Mary and Joseph and to move them to safety. Herod's about to do a dreadful, awful thing. Out of his feeling threatened by this child king, Herod orders every boy child ages 2 and younger to be killed. So after what must have seemed like only a few moments of stillness and peace, Joseph and Mary find themselves on the run with their new son. I mean, can you imagine that message coming to you with one of God's angels? I mean, I can just hear it. Mark, get your family together now and get them out. There's a price on your kid's head. If you stay, they're going to be killed. You need to go, and you need to go now. Don't worry about getting your things together. Just get your family and get out. Leave tonight. I mean, I can't imagine the panic that I'd have trying to pull my family together to get out just in time and to get out safe. I can't imagine the panic that my wife would have or the panic that my kids would have. At least Jesus is probably young enough not to understand yet what's going on. I'd have to do my best, friends, just to keep it together so that everyone else could keep it together so that we could actually get out. I might even be thinking, well, God, if you knew that Herod was going to be sending his men, then why didn't you tell us that a week ago? Then we could have at least got a U-Haul, all got our things together. perhaps it needed to be some sort of immediate departure. Maybe Joseph and Mary couldn't be tempted to have time to tell others where they were going and had to be seen or to be seen where they were going and just had to leave. No, it had to happen quickly and without attention so that Herod's cronies wouldn't come after them. Friends, it was a Christmas on the run. But do you know what? The running didn't begin here. The running had been going on now ever since the first angel came with the first message. Do you remember the story? Where we talked about weeks ago, the angel told Mary that she's going to have a child and that child was going to be the Son of God. She knew that she'd never been with a man and wondered how this would be possible. And yet she trusts God and she surrenders her will to God's will. But what's the first thing that she does after that? She takes off on a run. She goes running, not in fear necessarily, but definitely there was some anxiety there. She runs away from Joseph and her family for a while to stay with her relative Elizabeth. And she wasn't quick to come back. She stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. She's just a young girl. Certainly in those 3 months, she was thinking in her head, how will I tell Joseph? How will I tell my family and friends? When she returns and lets the cat out of the bag, what's the first response of Joseph? He was going to run, right? I can't marry her now. She's going to have a baby who isn't mine. I can't marry her, but I also don't want to hurt her, so I'll quietly divorce her. Yes, that's the best answer. I'll run from this relationship. His running is only put to a stop when God sends his angel who says, don't be afraid. God really has done this. It's okay to take Mary home and to make her your wife. But then what happens soon after that? Caesar Augustus issues a decree, basically saying, pack your bags, Joseph and Mary. You got to go to Joseph's hometown, to Bethlehem, to go to Joseph's town for a census. And again, friends, Joseph and Mary, they're up and running. She's too close to delivery for this kind of a trip, but that doesn't matter. They do get their things together and they've got to get running. It was Christmas on the run. And now after Jesus being born and several months of reprieve, they're going to be off and running again. This time for their very lives. They run and escape to Egypt where they sit and wait for God to tell them when it's safe to return. But with the history of Herod's death, it appears that they were there for maybe a year or two. Nonetheless, at some point, Herod dies. And at that point, an angel comes again to Joseph and tells him in Matthew 2:20 and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. And once again, they're off and they're running. This time, they end up in Nazareth within the first couple of years of Jesus' life. Joseph and Mary end up living in three different places that we know of. It's not a lot of fun moving at Christmas. We did that once. At one church where we serve, we moved there and began in December. It was pretty crazy. We were unpacking our stuff while putting up our Christmas decorations at the same time. At least we were pre-kid at that point, so we probably had a third of the things that we own now and a third of the decorations, but it still wasn't a lot of fun. Well, Joseph and Mary, they had moved literally right before Jesus was born, and then again pretty much right after he was born, and then soon after that they moved again. I mean, talk about being on the run. So why place all this emphasis on the reality of the first Christmas being about running? Why look at this part of the account that happens after the birth where they run for the life of their son? Because I believe that we can find a real nugget of truth in this for our lives and our celebration of Jesus. Friends, most of us live our Christmases on the run, don't we? We're not running to save our lives, but we're running. Like I alluded to at the beginning of this message, maybe this year was different, but most of us usually spend the whole Christmas season running. From the moment Thanksgiving Day is complete and after Thanksgiving Day for many, it's like we're standing in line at the beginning of a race and the gun goes off and we just take off running. We run to the department stores, to the grocery stores, to the parties, to the programs, to the Christmas concerts, to the post office, and to work. And we run and we run and we run in the name of Christmas to celebrate Christmas. And yet maybe not being still enough to really catch it before it rolls by yet another year. My suspicion is that for some of us, we've been running up until the point that we sat down at the end of Christmas Day, or for some, maybe it's the point you're sitting down this weekend, this Sunday morning, into your seats here or at home. And you know, as awful as COVID has been, as much as I wanted to go away, and while I'm disappointed of not seeing family that we usually see this time of year, and at Thanksgiving not seeing the family that we would see, and there is one advantage to this year's little Christmas. Some of us have stopped more. Some of us have taken more time. Some of us have found some more peaceful moments. In the oddness of this year's season, some of us may actually have found a niceness in the simple. But perhaps even this year, you still feel like you've been running too much this Christmas. And so I want us to stop right now, before it's all over and we go back to our normal tomorrow, and catch the moment. That happened with the events of the first Christmas. Yes, they were on the run. They just got into Bethlehem. They just found a place in the stable in time to have the birth. But the baby was here. And with the birth of the Messiah came the calm at the end of the storm. There would be another storm coming very soon, but they had this period of time of calm. Now do me a favor. Just take a deep breath with me. If you're in the room or you're at home, just take a breath with me. Let's do it again. Do you feel the stillness? Do you feel the peace? Do you feel the calmness? Christmas is here. Christmas has arrived. So stop running. Be still. Acknowledge Him. Praise Him. Come, let us adore Him. You see, in the midst of the first Christmas on the run, there was this moment, the moment of God entering into the world, where all the running ceased to usher in the Prince of Peace. In the middle of the madness was this moment of majesty. My question for you this morning is, are you running? I'm not talking now about just the busyness of Christmas and that run. I'm talking about in your life in general. Is your life always on the run? Maybe you're running from God. Maybe you're trying to run to find God. Maybe you're running trying to not get noticed by God, or trying to get noticed by God. Or maybe you're running because you're so busy trying to serve God. Are you running? Are you running from someone or something? Maybe an issue that you don't feel you can handle, or a hurt or a pain that's shaken your world? Or are you running from some greater reality that you just don't want to deal with? I think that a lot of us spend too much of our time running and too little of our time trusting God. Are you running this morning? Have you started running at some point and you've just never quit? Maybe you don't know why or from where or where to, but at some point you started running and you've just been running ever since. Maybe you're running from someone or to someone. Maybe you're running from something or to something. Maybe you're running from yourself, or you're running from God. That's pretty silly, because you can never escape God's presence. He's there with you whether you think He is or not. Maybe you've been hurt, or maybe you've hurt someone else, or maybe you've been hurting yourself and you're trying to hurt God. Do you know what? Right now in this moment, the cause of your running, and even the direction of your running in this moment, it doesn't even matter. I'm not asking you to try to figure out exactly why you're running at this time, at this moment. But what I want to ask you is, can we do something special this morning? Just a couple days after Christmas, let's stop running this morning. Even if it's just for this hour or so that we're together. Even if it's just for this moment, let's stop running. And again, let's take a breath. Take a breath. breathe in the majesty of Emmanuel, God with us, Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, born into the world. Let's pray together, and then we're going to spend some time just worshiping as we spend a time paused before God. God, pause our minds, pause our hearts, still us in this moment. Maybe our whole Christmas season has been about the run, running from one place to the next or doing one thing to the next. Maybe we've had sickness in our family and we're trying to keep up with getting everything done that we need to. Who knows? But God, we just want to have a calmness and a stillness before you that Christmas doesn't pass another year without us stopping to praise you and to worship you. And that, God, is what we're going to do in these moments as we conclude. In Jesus' name, amen.